Protesters gathered in cities around the country following the leaked draft Supreme Court decision that would overturn Roe v. Wade. That's the landmark 1973 decision guaranteeing the right to abortion.
Chief Justice John Roberts confirmed the draft's authenticity yesterday and said in a statement, quote, "To the extent this betrayal of the confidences of the court was intended to undermine the integrity of our operations, it will not succeed. The work of the court will not be affected in any way," end quote. But public trust in the court and its legitimacy have been affected. Joining us now is Louis Varelli, professor of law at Stetson University in Florida. Louis, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
We want to get to the contents of the leaked opinion, but first I want to ask you, when you saw that this had happened, that this draft had been leaked, which is unprecedented, to your mind, what did it mean for how the court is perceived and even its legitimacy?
Well, I think it creates sort of two main perceptions. The first is it could create the indication that there is some sort of internal strife or discord within the court, which is, of course, problematic because the court operates as a unified body, and that would give us concern. It could also indicate that some of the norms that the justices are accustomed to are deteriorating or otherwise diminishing, and that could create a problem for the court's ability to do its job because it is useful to the justices to be able to deliberate in private before they issue a final decision, and this, of course, inhibits that.
So during the oral arguments for Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, that Mississippi abortion rights case that this leaked opinion is about, Justice Sonia Sotomayor asked if the Supreme Court as an institution will, quote, survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution and its readings are just political acts. If this opinion holds, Professor, do you believe overturning Roe v. Wade will be interpreted as purely a political act?
Well, certainly for proponents of Roe, I think it will. And part of that goes to simply the duration of time that Roe has been the law of the land. We're talking about 50 years of precedent. And of course, Justice Alito's draft indicates that he disagrees with this, but it's difficult to describe Roe as unworkable, which is the term we would use when a precedent needs to be overturned. The legal standard was being applied. It was being applied, you know, in close cases, there was some debate, but it was being applied relatively consistently across the country. And to upend 50 years of settled constitutional law is a significant move that the court doesn't take very often. And I think part of the challenge in this case is that so much of the justices' confirmation proceedings center around the abortion debate that it's difficult for a public who watches these folks be nominated and confirmed with sort of multiple questions and debates about their stance on this one case come to fruition in a overturning on what effectively look like partisan lines.
And polls have shown that the majority of Americans support upholding Roe versus Wade. Is it important for the court to reflect the views and the norms of the American public?
Not necessarily. So when we're talking about individual rights are, as a rule, anti-democratic. What I mean is to have a right means that you are protected from the majority in exercising that right. So when the court is advancing individual rights or expanding them, it is typically operating against at least some kind of powerful majority, whether it be in a state or around the nation. We see that in Brown v. Board, for example. But when you're limiting individual rights in a case like this, it becomes harder to ignore, I think, public opinion. And I think we're going to see that public opinion come back on the justices in a lot of open and stark criticism.
Well, to that point, in his opinion, Justice Alito wrote, quote, "We cannot allow our decisions to be affected by any extraneous influences such as concern about the public's reaction to our work," end quote. That seems impossible on any abortion-related ruling, but definitely impossible now. What do you think that means for the court's ultimate decision in this case expected at the end of June?
Well, I think that's a position that one would expect Justice Alito to take when he's writing an opinion of this magnitude that is going to undo the last 50 years of constitutional law. So that argument certainly is not a surprise when you're taking the position that the majority is taking. But I will just note for the audience that in a case like Brown v. Board, right, which is for 1954, the court very much cared. The papers of the justices have since been made public and indicate that the court very much cared how it presented itself to the public and how its decision would be received by the public. I think there's evidence of that in the same-sex marriage case, Obergefell. Justice Kennedy had two decisions 12 years apart. And one of the major differences between his decision in Lawrence v. Texas and on Obergefell, which worked up to recognizing a right to same-sex marriage, was a shift in public opinion and in the law, the state constitutional law on the matter. So the court does have a history of at least being aware of public opinion when it makes these decisions, because it's important to the court that these decisions be accepted by the public.
Well, if that's true, then what's different here? What seems to be changing?
I don't know that anything's changing or that we have an issue here that has inspired a narrow majority of the court to reach a decision that is inconsistent with public opinion because they are committed to the idea that it's the right thing to do. That, I think, is why this decision is going to be problematic in the long run for the court, because it does not seem to be in step with the majority of Americans, and it is doing something that the court does rarely and should do very carefully, which is overturn longstanding constitutional law.
Let me ask you about Chief Justice John Roberts, who was once at the center of the court, the powerful swing voter. But with Trump's appointment of new conservative justices, how has Roberts' position or his influence changed?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer from the outside. The indications are that the Chief Justice is not in the majority in the opinion that was leaked this week. So that would indicate that there is a five-justice majority that is either less in line with the Chief Justice's views or that the Chief Justice is less able to influence with institutional concerns like upholding longstanding case law, like the principle that we call stare decisis.
Let me ask you more about that, because Alito's opinion overturning Roe v. Wade defies stare decisis, which calls for the court to stand by its previous rulings. What kind of impact does that have on legal precedents and trust in the institution of the court?
I think the public is skeptical anytime longstanding and high-profile precedents are overturned, and I think that's appropriate. They are also skeptical when individual rights are limited by the court, which is actually quite unusual in its history. Usually what we think of as high-profile opinions are expanding individual rights. But more importantly, this is part of a larger story. The highly controversial nominations and confirmations of Justice Gorsuch and Justice Barrett in a presidential election year, both orchestrated by Senator McConnell to opposite effect. Justice Gorsuch was nominated after the election, after the election, and Justice Barrett was confirmed weeks prior to a presidential election, all adds fuel to this fire that the justices are intertwined now in partisan politics in a way that we don't expect and do not prefer.
Intertwined in partisan politics. I mean, it leads me to think about public opinion of the Supreme Court, which has been worsening in recent years. And so back to this idea, if this body is seen as purely political, what are the larger implications?
Well, the larger implications are something that Alexander Hamilton cautioned us about when the Constitution was founded. He said, the Supreme Court is the least dangerous branch because it has neither purse nor sword, but merely judgment. I'm paraphrasing, but I think that's close. What he meant was the court's power is in its ability to persuade and to encourage the public to follow its lead. Justice O'Connor said as much in the Casey opinion in 1992, which was the primary follow-up or one of the more high-profile follow-ups to Roe. The court is well aware that its power derives from the public's confidence in it. And as the public becomes more comfortable thinking of the court as an ideologically driven or a politically driven entity, and less comfortable with the notion that they are impartial arbiters of the law, that power wanes. And the court's power waning is problematic because the court is one of our primary checks on the other two branches.
And so is there any way to undo this potential damage?
Well, certainly there are legislative and other fixes, if you will, for the abortion question. But as an institutional matter, I think that's on the justices. The justices have to take public perception of their conduct and their role in society seriously. And I'm not suggesting they don't, but they need to be aware that the public is becoming more skeptical and why, even if it's not their fault, see the confirmation hearings, and go out of their way to, for example, be more unified in their decisions, to be more thorough in their reasoning and more transparent in the rationales they provide for why they reach certain decisions.
Louis Ferrelli is professor of law at Stetson University in Florida. Professor, thank you again.
Thank you.